You have your Bibles, if you'll find Psalm 119, we'll continue our walk through this beautiful psalm that extols God's Word and declares the greatness, the goodness, the sufficiency of God's Word. We've been walking through it section by section, and we have made it to verse 121 of Psalm 119. And as I read through and as I look in this passage, these different sections, there's kind of a theme that I find, and it may not word it the same way I do. It may speak to you in different ways, but I think the truths of it will be the same. In this section, if I were going to give it a title, which I did, it was that God's Word positions us for blessing. God's Word positions us for blessing. Now, we've got to understand, before we get into this, what's the nature of blessing? Oftentimes, we think of God's blessing, and sometimes it is physical or financial or healing and all of those kinds of things. And many people claim the blessing of God or seek the blessing of God, but don't position themselves for the blessing of God. There is a general blessing that God has. God has general grace that He shares with all humanity. One thing is true about all of us, we have never taken a breath where we did not experience the grace of God. Lost, saved, it rains on the just like it does the unjust. Now, rain is basically twofold. Bad things happen to everybody and good things happen to everybody. God's general grace we all experience. If you breathe, you're experiencing it. If you were born, you're born and you experience God's general grace throughout your life. But there are blessings that God has just for His children. There are promises in Scripture that don't apply to people that are unsaved, that only apply to the saved. And if we are saved, it doesn't mean we're going to experience all of God's blessing just because we're saved. Obedience is required. Lost people will live outside of God's will and outside of God's Word at times in their life, and they should not expect God to bless those times of their life and those undertakings that they're in. Very simply, just trying to be very pointed, I've had a lot of folks that are claimed to be Christian, and I believe they're saved, they love Jesus, but they're living with somebody that's not their spouse, and then wanting God to bless that relationship. Well, you're living outside of what God says a relationship is supposed to be like. You're living outside of God's design for marriage and relationship, and God cannot bless that. Now, you'll still experience God's general grace, but so will people that don't claim the name of Jesus. If we are living outside of the authority of God's Word, we can't expect God to keep the promises in His Word. Now, He'll be faithful to His character. He'll be faithful to us in salvation. We're still His child. He still loves us, but He's not happy with us. And He's not going to bless what we know we're doing wrong. We can't expect God's blessing of that. And so when I say that we position ourselves for God's blessing, God's Word positions us for that. If we want to experience the blessing of God, that supernatural blessing, not just His general grace, but the outpouring of God's grace upon His child, then we have to position ourselves for that grace. I think I've used this example before, and it's just the simplest one that my simple mind can understand. In our house, we've got three showers, actually four. Yeah, four. Is that right? We've got four showers. Now, I can go outside and work all I want to, get sweaty, stinky, nasty, and come in, and I can turn on all four of those showers. But until I get under that shower, it's going to have no effect on my life. I'm still just going to be as nasty as I ever was. Unless I position myself, I can stand outside the shower. I can open the curtain wide open, the shower run on the inside, and I can stand at the edge of the tub and never step in. I can see the blessing. I know where it is. But I refuse to step into it. I have not positioned myself to receive the cleansing of that shower. Right? God's Word is much like that. If we know what God wants us to do and we refuse to do it, why should we expect to experience the blessing that He has for us in our obedience? And so when we are studying God's Word, when we're learning God's Word, when we're following God, there are things that we can position ourselves for, or we can stand outside of it and say, yeah, I want that blessing, but I just ain't willing to step in there to receive it. I'm not willing to be obedient to receive it. Now, you're not earning God's grace. You're not earning God's blessing. Now, let me say that up front. You do not earn God's blessing, but you can disqualify yourself for God's blessing. And I say that from experience. Been there, done that. Don't want the t-shirt. And don't want to go back. Amen. But we can position ourselves. And God's Word is what positions us for His blessing. Because when we live under the authority of God's Word, when we submit ourselves to what God's Word says, when we instead of trying to make God's Word align with our comfort, we align our life with God's Word, then we're positioning ourselves for the promises of God to be ours. You know why we don't experience the peace that goes beyond understanding? Because we don't pray in all things with thanksgiving, and we don't focus on all the good things of God. We focus on all the negative things of life. And so therefore, His peace doesn't guard our heart and our minds. And then we don't put those things into practice in obedience and trusting that God's going to do it. We keep worrying and fretting because we're not praying and we're not trusting God and we're not pondering on who God is. We're pondering on the circumstance. And so therefore, the God of peace doesn't provide that peace beyond understanding. We constantly worry and we fret and we stress and we wring our hands and we look just like the world. I'm saved. I know a lot of saved people that love Jesus, but are worriers and stressed out. Why? Because they're not practicing, they're not positioning themselves to experience the peace of God. They still think they have got to make things happen and they're the ones that are responsible and they're the one, and they take on a responsibility that's not their own. They're living outside of God's Word. They're removing themselves from the place of blessing. So even Christians can do that. But if we want to experience the blessing of God, if we want to experience all that God has for us, if we want to experience the supernatural overflow of blessing, then we have to live in obedience. Now again, I'm not preaching health and wealth. It doesn't mean when you're obedient with God, you're going to have all the money in the world, plenty of house, big house, fine car, and you're never going to get sick. It's not what I'm saying. But no matter what the circumstances of life are, you will experience the blessing of God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will give you a peace beyond understanding. He will give you supernatural supply to get you through. He will be your provision. He will be your peace. He will be your strength. He will be all that He promised He would be when we walk in faith and obedience. Because we've positioned ourselves for His blessing. So, with that disclaimer and that understanding, let's stand as we read Psalm 119, verses 121 through 128. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for my servant, for your servant, for good. And do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation, for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that would be a reality in our lives. God, that we choose to honor you in everything and we trust you to do what you said you will do. That God, we will cry out to you in our obedience and in our need. And in the stresses of life, God, we would look to you and trust you. And we'd be able to say like the psalmist, I have done justice and righteousness. So God, I'm trusting you to keep your word. And Lord, I know that comes from an overflow of a heart of worship. Just as we've sang tonight, this is how I fight my battles. God, may this be true of us. We face the struggles of life. We endure the struggles of life. We fight the battles on our knees, trusting you, obeying you, depending upon you. For you are our warrior. You are our God. You are our hope. Let us hate every false way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, when you read this section, you may think, well, that's kind of arrogant. I have done justice and righteousness. But there are times in our life when we spiritually get it right. You know, oftentimes we focus on all the ways we mess up. But sometimes we need to focus on the fact that, hey, we get a lot of things right. I've been living according to your word, God. I've been trusting you. I've been faithful to you. I've been sharing your word. God, I've been living as best I can, being a frail human, fallible. But God, I've been striving to do justice and righteousness. I've been striving to live according to your word. I have been choosing right most of the time. So God, I'm trusting you. I need you to do your part. It says, I've done justice and righteousness, so do not leave me to my oppressors. God, fight my battle for me. I'm honoring you. I'm trying to walk through this persecution. I'm trying to walk through this difficulty. I'm trying to walk through this hurt, and I'm trying to walk through this stress in a way that honors you, God. And I'm doing justice, and I'm doing righteousness, Lord. I'm walking this way. So God, don't let my circumstances overwhelm me. It declares a dependence. I'm doing, God, I'm striving, I'm working, I'm trying to do my part, but God, I need your intervention. Don't let my oppressors overtake me. Don't let them overcome me. Why? Not because of who I am and all the good I've done, but so that it will be a testimony of your presence, a testimony of your faithfulness, God. I'm doing what you said to do, so God, I'm trusting you to do your part. I'm trusting you for the blessing. I've positioned myself here so that you can show up and show out. See, oftentimes I can't say that because I hadn't really walked by faith. I read a book one time about getting out of the boat. It's a book on faith. And the author, basically, the gist of the book was, we all want God to work supernaturally, but we just don't want to get out of the boat. Talking about Peter walking on the water. And yeah, and we always focus on Peter walked on the water and then he started sinking. We focus on the negative part. But the fact is, Peter did something that nobody other human has ever done other than Jesus. He got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Might have just been a short distance, but he walked on the water. Wow. Wouldn't you like to do that? But most of us don't experience the miracles of God. We don't experience the supernatural blessing of God. We don't experience the supernatural intervention of God because we never position ourselves to where we've got to get it. If God doesn't show up, I'm going to sink. If God doesn't do what he said he'd do, I'm going to fall flat on my face and I'm going to look like a fool. If God doesn't show up, I'm sunk. We're not willing to step out of the boat so God can demonstrate his power. We're not willing to position ourselves where if God doesn't do what he said he'd do, our life, our circumstance, everything's going to fall apart because we're building our life in obedience. And I've stepped out on faith and I'm waiting for that supernatural power to walk on the water. Because Jesus said, come here. But we never take that step, so we never experience God's supernatural blessing. The psalmist is saying, God, I've done justice. I've done righteousness. So don't let my oppressors overcome me. Don't let the circumstances overwhelm me. Don't let the circumstances show themselves stronger than you are. Show up, God. I've done my part, and I'm trusting you to do yours. And he says, be surety. Now, what is surety? That's not a word we use anymore. What is surety? It's collateral. It's a guarantee. If you take out a loan, you got to put up some collateral. If you borrow money, then you have to have some type of surety, something that is of great value that will cause you to pay your money back, to keep your vow. And so he says, God, I want you to be my surety. I want you to be the guarantee of what happens. He says, be the surety of your servant for good. Paul describes the Holy Spirit to us as the surety, the guarantee of what is to come. But we're not saved because of our goodness. We don't have the hope of heaven because I'm saved and I'm miraculously changed and I'm this great person now. Ask my wife, I'm not that great. Ask my kids, I'm not that great. Ask some church members, I'm probably not that great. So it's not my goodness that gets me to heaven. It's the Holy Spirit in me that is the deposit. It is the guarantee of my place in heaven. It's God in me that gets me in. Okay? And so the psalmist is saying the same thing here. Lord, be the surety of your servant for his good. Now, it's not because I'm good, it's not because I've done these things, but it's because you have called me, because you are my God, and because of your grace and your mercy and your promises, you be the surety of my good, because my character isn't a very good down payment or deposit. I'm trying, I'm being obedient, but God, I need you to be the surety, the one who guarantees the good for your servant. It says, be surety for your servant for good, and do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. He's still continuing. He says, look, all these things are happening, and I'm not focusing all the bad stuff. I'm not focusing on my oppressors. I'm not focusing on the troubles that I'm experiencing. I'm not focusing on the hardship and the negative. God, my eyes are getting dim. My eyes are failing because I'm longing for you. I'm looking to you. I'm focusing on you. I'm keeping my eyes on you. So, Lord, teach me your words. Teach me your statutes. Don't let the arrogant overcome me. Let me know more about you. Deal with your servant according to your love and kindness and teach me your statutes. I've been obedient and I'm trying to be obedient, but God, I'm focusing on you because I want to be more obedient. Don't let my circumstances take my eyes and my focus off of you. Don't let the people around me and the negativity around me, don't let those things draw my attention, my devotion, my gaze from you to them. Because if I do that, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I lose sight of who is in control, if I lose sight of who fights my battles, if I lose sight of who is my provision and who is my sustenance and who is my guarantee, when I take my eyes off of you, God, I'm immediately putting myself in peril. So I want to stay positioned for your favor. I want to stay positioned for your grace. I want to stay positioned for your blessing. I want to stay in a position where you will gladly fight my battles for me. And that is a life of obedience. Staying focused on God's word, living it out as best we can through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and letting Him be God. So he says, I have done justice and righteousness, do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good, and do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness, not my goodness, but your loving kindness, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. See, we need to remember, he's reminding himself, I don't think he's so much talking to God, but he's reminding himself that I am your servant. I'm not in charge. I don't deserve. I am your servant. And you are the one in charge. You are the boss. You are the manager. You are the one who calls the shots. You are the one who directs me. You are the one that tells me how I'm supposed to live. You are the one that tells me how I'm supposed to think. You are the one that calls the shots. I am your servant. Give me understanding. Give me your understanding. Why? So I can be wise and overcome my enemies? So I can make everybody else look like a fool in an argument? No. He says, I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. I want to understand you more. Because the better we understand God, the smaller our problems look. What's that old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. See, we are so quick, and I say we because I am just like you. We are so quick to remove our eyes from God and put them on our problems. And that's where we mess up. God, we want understanding because I want to be able to put them in their place. I want wisdom so I can win this argument and I can make them look stupid. No, God, I need understanding so I'll know your word better. God, I need understanding so I'll know you more. God, I need understanding so that I can follow you more faithfully and just let you be God, and I just want to be your servant. And I want to experience all that you have for me. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It's time for the Lord to act, for they've broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. The psalmist is requesting God to deal with the problem. He's requesting God's blessing. God, it's time for you to act because they've broken your law. God, there's a demarcation, there's a separation between those who love you and those who love themselves, those who obey you and those who reject you, those who follow you and those who rebel against you. So God, it's time to act. My circumstances are set, my oppressors are gathering up, and it's time for you to intervene. I need you to show up, God. I've been obedient. So God, I'm just waiting on you. I don't think he's trying to tell God what to do and when to do it. I don't think that's the heart of this servant. Because he describes himself, I am your servant. But what he is saying is, God, the circumstances are looking kind of dire here. Okay, God, I've been faithful, but they're gathering up. They're amassing. My circumstances are beginning to overwhelm. It seems like I'm surrounded. I need to know that I'm surrounded by you, as the song said. God, it's time to act. Otherwise, they're going to look like they're winning to the world. Otherwise, those that are watching are going to think you're not really faithful, you're not really real. It's time to act. I'm trusting you. I'm waiting on you. You be God. I'm going to continue to wait. So he says, since it is time to act and they've broken your law, God, because there is this great demarcation, he says, it's time for you to judge this circumstance. He says, therefore, since it is time, therefore, since I am your servant, therefore, because I've done justice, because you are my surety, therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. And therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. You know, there comes a time when we've got to choose. Is God's word really always right? Or do we really not think that's true? It's practice is how we demonstrate that. He says, because it is time for you to judge, because there is a strict demarcation between those who love you and those who don't, God, it's time for you to act. So therefore, I want to be on the right side of this battle. I want to be under your authority. I want to be under your blessing. I want to be on your side. I never want to be on the opposite side of God. So he says, therefore, I love your statutes more than gold. Yes, even fine gold. Therefore, I trust your statutes. I trust your testimonies. I trust your precepts concerning everything. And I hate every false way. He chooses. He chooses sides. He says, God, I'm staying on your side. I don't know when you're going to act. I don't know how you're going to act. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm trusting you to do it, and I'm just going to stay on your side until you get it done. And see, that's where some of us are at times. You don't know how God's going to act. You're trusting God to act, and you've been trying to live for God, and you're trying to honor God in your circumstances, but it seems like God is just kind of waiting for something, and you don't know what it is, and you're saying, okay, God, it's time to act. It's time to step in here. But we have to remind ourselves, just like he did, God, I'm still going to be on your side, even if it takes a while. God, I'm going to stay over here. I'm going to trust your word above gold. I'm going to trust your word above everything else. And I'm going to hate every evil way, no matter how long it takes you to do what you said you'll do. I'm on your side. I'm going to stay on your side. I'm going to keep trusting you. And I'm going to keep honoring you until you do what you decide to do. Positioning ourselves for blessing. And so often we abandon God before he takes the time to bless us. We stop short of where God wants us to get, to where he can show up and show out. We stop short because we lose faith. God's dragging his feet. Well, that must mean I've got to do this. God ain't done it yet, so he must be expecting me to do this. God hadn't provided yet, so I've got to make sure. Instead of just sitting back, keep reminding yourself, God, I'm your servant. Your servant. You're faithful. You're sovereign. Your word is always right. So in this circumstance, I'm going to continue to honor you. And keep trusting that in your time, in your way, in your grace, and in your power and your might, you're going to show up and you're going to show out. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to stay in a position that you can bless me and bless my family. All right? So keep trusting. Keep trusting. Keep reminding yourself. Keep obeying. Keep serving. God will be faithful. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for your great grace, and I do thank you for this revelation of your character that we call the Bible, your instruction book for life and for everything that it involves. God, I thank you for your revelation to us. And Lord, help us to love your word above everything else and hate every evil way. God, help us, Lord, to pursue you and your word more than anything else this world has to offer, and trust you even when it seems like you're tarrying or waiting. God, your timing is perfect. Let us learn in that time of waiting, in that time of struggle. God, let us cling to you and look to you and love you and your word more than anything. May you be glorified in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.